Now Christian began to be sorry that he had taken Mr. Worldly Wiseman's counsel. And with that he saw Evangelist coming to meet him and began to blush with shame. Evangelist drew nearer and nearer. And when he came up to Christian, he looked at him with a severe and fearsome expression. Then he began to reason with Christian. "What are you doing here, Christian?" Christian didn't know what to say, so he stood speechless before him. "Aren't you the man I found crying outside the walls of the City of Destruction?" "Yes, dear sir, I am the man. Didn't I tell you the way to the little wicket gate?" "Yes, dear sir. How is it then that you have so quickly turned aside? For you are now going the wrong way." "As soon as I got out of the Swamp of Despond, I met a gentleman who persuaded me that I might find a man who could take off my burden in the village before me." "Who was he?" "He looked like a gentleman and talked much to me. It got me at last to yield. So I came here. But when I saw this hill and how it hangs over the path, I suddenly stopped, lest it should fall on my head." "What did that gentleman say to you?" "Why, he asked me where I was going, and I told him."
"And what did he say then?"
"He asked me if I had a family, and I told him I did. I told him I was so loaded down with the burden on my back that I cannot take pleasure in them as I did formerly."
"And what did he say then?"
"He told me to get rid of my burden quickly, and I said I wanted to, and was going to yonder gate to receive further instruction on how I may get to the place of deliverance. He said that he would show me a better and shorter and less difficult way than that which you told me about, sir. He said he would direct me to a gentleman who has skill to take off these burdens. So I believed him. But when I came to this place and saw things as they are, I stopped because I was afraid it was dangerous. Now I don't know what to do."
Then Evangelist said, "Stand still for a bit, so I may show you the words of God." So Christian stood, trembling. Then said Evangelist, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." Moreover, he said, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Then he concluded with this application: "Thou art the man who is running into this misery. You have begun to reject the counsel of the Most High and to draw back from the way of peace, almost to the point of perdition." Then Christian fell down at Evangelist's feet, crying, "Woe is me, for I am undone!" At the sight of this, Evangelist caught him by the right hand, saying, "All manner of sin and blasphemies shall be forgiven men. Be not faithless, but believing." Then Christian recovered somewhat and stood up, trembling as he had before. An Evangelist continued speaking, "Heed seriously the things that I shall tell you, for I will now show you who it was that deluded you, and who it was to whom he was sending you. The man who met you is one Worldly Wiseman, and he is rightly named, partly because he enjoys only the doctrine of this world, which is why he always goes to the town of Morality to church, and partly because he loves that doctrine best, for it saves him from the cross. And because he is of this carnal nature, he seeks to pervert my ways, though they are right. Now there are three things in this man's counsel that you must utterly abhor. First, he turned you out of the way. Second, he tried to make the cross odious to you. And third, he set your feet on a path that leads to death. First, you must abhor his turning you out of the way, yes, and your own consenting to do so, because to do this is to reject the counsel of God for the counsel of a worldly wise man. The Lord says, 'Strive to enter in at the strait gate, the gate to which I sent you, for strait is the gate that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This wicked man has turned you from your pilgrimage to the little wicket gate, and in doing so has brought you almost to destruction. Hate, therefore, his turning you out of the way, and abhor yourself for listening to him. Second, you must abhor his attempts to make the cross repugnant to you, for you are to desire the cross more than the treasure of Egypt. Besides, the King of Glory has told you that he who will save his life shall lose it, and he who comes after him and hates not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Therefore you must abhor any doctrine that would persuade you that this truth, without which you cannot have eternal life, shall be your death. Third, you must abhor his getting you to take the path that leads to death. And in this regard, you must consider to whom he sent you, and how unable that person was to deliver you from your burden. You were sent to Legality, the son of the bondwoman, who now is in bondage with her children. This is a mystery, this Mount Sinai, which you feared would fall on your head. Now if she and her children are themselves in bondage, how can you expect them to free you? Legality, therefore, is not able to set you free from your burden. No man has ever yet been relieved of his burden by legality, nor ever is likely to be. You cannot be justified by works of the law, for the law cannot release any man from his burden. Therefore, Mr. Worldly Wise Man is an alien, and Mr. Legality is a cheat, and his son Civility is nothing but a hypocrite, and cannot help you. Believe me, what you have heard from these stupid men is nothing but a design to deceive you by turning you from the way I had sent you. After this, Evangelist called aloud to the heavens for confirmation of what he had said, and with that there came words and fire out of the mountain under which poor Christian stood that made his hair stand up. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now Christian expected nothing but death, and began to cry out mournfully, even cursing the moment he had met up with Mr. Worldly Wise Man, calling himself a thousand fools for listening to his counsel. He also was greatly ashamed to think that this gentleman's arguments, flowing only from the flesh, had prevailed with him, causing him to forsake the right way. This done, he applied himself again to Evangelist's words. So what do you think? Is there hope? May I now go back and go up to the wicket gate? I am sorry I have heeded this man's counsel, but may my sin be forgiven? Evangelist said, Your sin is very great, for by it you have committed two evils. You have forsaken the way that is good, and you have taken forbidden paths. Yet the man at the gate will receive you, for he has good will for men. Then Christian prepared to go back, and Evangelist, after he had kissed him, smiled, and wished him a successful journey. So Christian hurried on, speaking to no one on the way. He traveled quickly, like one who knows he's on dangerous ground, until he once again reached the place where he had left to follow Mr. Worldly Wise Man's counsel. Thus in time, Christian got up to the gate, over which was written, Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.